Thank you. A good morning and a warm welcome to worship as we gather this morning at St. Luke's here at church. And I know most of you are watching online. This is a service of Holy Communion. You can have the elements prepared to receive the sacrament in your homes at that point in the service. A reminder that next week is the annual meeting of the congregation following the worship service. I know that a couple of people who don't have access to the internet will be attending in person, but predominantly this will again be a meeting held via Zoom. So we begin our worship with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word, we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The first hymn is You Are Mine. And the little oddity of this hymn is that we sing the first two verses before the first refrain. We hope we remember to do that. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches, wisdom and strength, and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing and honor, glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit, that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the third chapter of Jonah. The book of Jonah is a comedy starring a reluctant prophet who is given a one-sentence message. Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. Much to Jonah's dismay, the people of Nineveh repent. The point of the story is to get the reader to wrestle with the question, on whom God should God have mercy? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and then he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed it fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. He did not do it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the Psalms responsibly. Psalm 62. For God alone my soul in silence waits. Truly my hope is in him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall not be shaken.
In God is my safety and honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge.
Put your trust in him always, O people.
Pour out your hearts before him. For God is our refuge. Those on high degree are but a fleeting breath. Even those of low estate cannot be trusted.
On the scales, they are lighter than a breath. All of them together.
Put no trust in extortion. In robbery, take no empty pride. Though wealth increase, see not your heart upon it. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongs to God.
God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongs to God.
Steadfast love is yours, O Lord, for you repay everyone according to his deeds. The second reading is from the seventh chapter of the First Corinthians. Paul does not disapprove of marriage or other human social institutions. He does, however, want Christians to live in the present in fervent anticipation of God's future, which even now has dawned through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard of P.D.Q. Bach. It is, or it was, I don't know if they're still around, a German language music and comedy act. When Marlis and I started learning German, a friend gave us one of their tapes titled Black Forest Bluegrass. One of the really corny jokes in it had a builder calling out to the homeowner, "Hey, did you want this house built from the top down or from the bottom up?" "From the bottom up, of course," says the owner, and the builder says, "Oh no, now we'll have to take it down and start over." There are a lot of times in life that we need to start over. Some of them, of course, are filled with grief and loss and anxiety, as when frailty leads one out of a loved home, or when employment is snatched away by company layoffs, or at a time like this with the pandemic causing so many disruptions in life, or when death separates you from what seems normal and stable in your life. Starting over can be your only choice. And on the other hand, some starting over, some changes are filled with hope and excitement and optimism. A new job, a new marriage, a new child. There's some new venture that you take on. Starting over accompanied by delight and enthusiasm and maybe just a measure of trepidation. But starting over is one definition of the Christian life, the life of the baptized. Martin Luther said, you know, that baptism means everything old in us is drowned by daily, and he said, daily sorrow and repentance, so that a new self can daily, and yes, he said, daily, come forth to live with God. Sun comes up, and it's a new day, a new call to face yourself and the world and God. Sun comes up, a new day to be in relationship with God and neighbor, and to grow in love and in service. Today's readings help us think about those things. Starting with Jonah. Jonah, who had to start over because he had messed up royally when he had first been given an assignment. As you heard in that little introduction to the first reading, Jonah is an interesting book. In the first place, it is not history. It's what we might call an extended parable. Secondly, it's the only book in the Bible named for a main character who is a negative example. It's a humorous story. In fact, if you keep your sense of humor alive as you read it, it's really funny in some places, but it has a sharp point. The character named Jonah is a prejudiced prophet. God calls him to go to the capital of a major city of an enemy nation, to Nineveh, which was to become the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and to call Nineveh to repentance. That call brings Jonah face to face with his own hatred of the Assyrians. He can't accept the fact that God has any concern for Nineveh or any word to address to the people there. Something has to give, either his prejudice or his relationship with God. Put that way, Jonah makes the wrong choice. He gets on a ship going the opposite direction, getting as far away from his assignment as he possibly can, so attached to his prejudice that at that moment he is willing to let go of his relationship to God. The book was written after the Jews returned from the Babylonian exile. It was written to challenge the narrow nationalism of that time. The idea that God cared only for Israel. But the book is pertinent for us as well, I think. Is our concern, is our compassion as broad as God's? Are we more attached to God or to our prejudices? For that matter, what are they? Do our prejudices concern race or economic class or different political views or sexual orientation? Or to put it another way, whom do we resent? Whom do we disdain? The grace note in the book is that God will not let Jonah escape. God loves Nineveh more than Jonah can possibly imagine, but God does not love Jonah less. Jonah is not written off in favor of a more politically correct prophet. But Jonah is retrieved. He is redeemed and sent back to Nineveh. And once there, he delivers the message as inadequately as possible. kind of like the kid who cleans his room by kicking everything from the floor into the closet, thinking it's hidden. But amazingly, he says it one time and Nineveh repents. Suddenly, completely, they even put sackcloth as a sign of repentance on the livestock. In Jonah, it is said that God, seeing it, changes God's mind and does not destroy the city. But it's clear, friends, that that was God's hope and intention all along. Which should make Jonah overjoyed at his success, right? No. Jonah is bitter. He says he tried running away because he was afraid that what happened would happen. Jonah resented the fact that God is gracious and merciful because he wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. So it's a story about new beginnings. God grabs Jonah by the scruff of the neck, makes use of him even when Jonah doesn't want to serve God. God, I guess, does indeed have the whole world in God's hands, including Nineveh. Today, including Baghdad, including Iran, including even North Korea. God cares for all. God does not join in our prejudices and hostilities. And then we come to the gospel where God calls Peter and Andrew, James and John, and they respond by following. To do that, they had to let go of the tasks of their workaday world. Not completely, but at that moment. Later in the Gospels, we hear that they're still fishermen. They still spend some time back on the sea making a livelihood. But they would never quite see it the same way again. They had to take a different view of their place in the world, their place in relationship with their neighbors, their part in God's concern to heal the creation. We could even use the word repentance here, because repentance doesn't really mean feeling bad. It really means simply turning around and being more in tune with God's desires. For Nineveh, repentance meant sackcloth and ashes, the signs of mourning. For the disciples, it meant getting up, walking away from the nets and the boats. We're told the theme of Jesus' preaching was repent and believe in the good news. It sounds simple, but putting our trust in the good news always means letting go of other things that have a hold on. Things such as our pride or our wealth, or as in the case of Jonah, our prejudices. Repent and believe in the good news means turn away from the bad things that separate you from God and your neighbor. Because, friends, the problem is in this world that too many things are built on acquisition and aggression, on greed and materialism, on, yeah, pride and prejudice. But even things that are good in themselves, or at least ordinary things of life, they can have us giving too much attention to them, too much value. And so that reminds us that repentance includes recognizing the places we put too much value in things that don't deserve it, that we accept the world's attitudes and values. And so the disciples, they aren't leaving their work for good, as I said, but they are seeing a new center to their life, finding a new direction. And today's second reading connects to those back two. It's about letting go in a different way, kind of starting over, in attitudes to things of this world. Now, Paul's words here would be easy to misunderstand. Taken out of context, they can sound like terrible advice. Let those who have wives be as though they had none. That's been the cause of a lot of problems in this world, hasn't it? But Paul's whole message is, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God has called you. The point is to keep a light grip on this world, because as the final words of this reading say, the present form of this world is passing away. Paul may well have believed, most scholars think he did, that because the Messiah had come, because of the troubles of the world, that the world as he knew it would end in his lifetime. He expected the Lord to be back at any moment. Today we face a different set of concerns about this world. Global warming and overpopulation and incredibly destructive weapons and more. But what is certain, friends, is that you and I have only a lifetime, only one lifetime. And that makes Paul's words relevant for us. Our lives are relatively brief. quite frail. The things of this world, be they goods or relationships, are for this life. We have only one opportunity to be servants and stewards of the gift of God. Wonderful gifts, to be sure, marriage and skills and wonder things of the world around us and prized possessions. But when we leave this world, we leave them all behind, all except one. The only thing we do not leave is the love and the promise of God. The one relationship that does not end is the bond our Lord Jesus established with us. And so we ask to keep a light grip on the rest, knowing how deep is the love of God. We are to be free to start over in letting go of whatever hinders that relationship, be it old life, old job, old prejudice, or whatever else. And letting the Spirit work through word and sacrament and neighbor, that we may be raised up to start over again and again, to see and serve, to follow and love as the baptized people of God. Amen. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the Church, the world, and all people in need. For the church throughout the world, for pastors and teachers, for deacons and deaconesses, and for musicians and servers, that all proclaim the good news of God's reconciling love. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For skies and seas, for birds and fish, for favorable weather and clean water, and for the well-being of creation, that God raise up advocates and scientists to guide our care for all the earth. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who provide leadership in our cities and around the world, for non-profit and non-governmental organizations, for planning commissions and homeless advocates, that God inspire all people in the just use of wealth. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who are sick, distressed, or grieving, for the outcast and all who await relief, especially Jill Sorrell, Pastor Larry and Susito, the family of Michael Jeffers, and those we name in our hearts, that in the midst of suffering, God's peace and mercy surround them. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For our congregation and community, for families big and small, and for the organizations that meet here during the week, that God's steadfast love serve as a model for all relationships. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our Joint Call Committee collectively and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates for our ministry, and that the Spirit will move in the hearts of potential candidates as well. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. In thanksgiving for our ancestors in the faith whose lives serve as an example of gospel living, that they point us to salvation through Christ, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We share God's peace with one another. Once again, we are grateful for your generosity and your faithfulness in responding to the needs of the world, this community, and this congregation with your gifts that restore and respond to what God has given you. And those gifts have continued to serve this church and community very well. So our appreciation. We continue with the Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord. Fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service, and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and places offer thanks and praise to you. O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, Hosanna in the highest. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people, in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen.